Not you ought to use it for His glory and His building of His kingdom. I encourage all of them, whatever the Lord has blessed you with, to use it to the best of your ability tonight. In the Bible, in the book of 1 Corinthians, the third chapter is where we'll be reading from this evening. And if you'd like to follow along with us, and I know Rachel doesn't play it much anymore, but I used to encourage her to bring the fiddle, as they call it, a violin, to church and play it for us. And I don't have anything against any talent that the Lord has given somebody that they can't use it for His glory and His upbuilding of the kingdom of God, because the devil, people use their talents for him. Amen. And we ought to use everything God's given us for His glory tonight. So here in the book of 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, if you found it and like to stand for the reading of God's word, go with me if you would, down to verse 10 is where we'll start reading at tonight. He says in verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another built thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abideth, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by the fire." And stop reading there with that verse 15 tonight. And I like to use from the 11th verse, I'm sorry, the 10th verse, that we ought to be careful how we build. How we build. And that would be my text tonight, being careful how we build upon the foundation. Because we are accountable for how we build our lives. We don't have to worry about the foundation. How many of you tonight know that the foundation is true? Amen. Because the Bible says here that Jesus Christ is the foundation. He's talking to saved people, Brother Kenny. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to saved people and saying that once you're saved and you're founded upon the Word of God, that we all build our lives. We all build our spiritual lives in similitude to our natural lives, and that we are accountable, if I can use that word, of what we do with our lives. How many of you have ever built anything in a natural realm only to have to tear it down and rebuild it because you did it wrong? Some of you don't want to confess tonight, but that's all right. I think that we've all made mistakes in life. And we see that even though that we had good intents, even though we tried our best, we still faltered and failed. But the Word of God tells us this evening that our spiritual lives, that we need to be careful. He says, "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Because he says that we have the master builder, which God, he said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, that God gives us His grace to build our lives according to His word. And many of us, and in fact, every one of us would probably have to stand and testify to the fact that even though God gave us the plan, there's been times that we deviated from the plan that God had for us in our lives. We've all gone off course. And what Paul was saying is that there's no reason for it, because we have a wise master builder. And that word in the Greek means the architect. God gave us the plan. Just like He did to Noah. He gave Noah the plan. And Noah followed the plan to the tooth, I believe it. And because he followed the plan of God, when the rains came, the boat began to float. Had he not followed God's plan, the boat would have sank. And all of the humanity would have been lost. It's that way in our Christian lives. God is the architect of our Christian lives. He's given us the plant. He has laid the foundation. And we are responsible for how we build our Christian lives. Every one of us, the Bible tells us, even in these verses here, every one of us will give an account for what we have done, that which is good and that which is evil. And people say, I don't like preaching when they just start talking about that we have to give an account. There's going to be a payday for all of us. And folks, I'm not talking way out yonder in the future somewhere. I'm talking God. The Bible says that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And every day, God, what we have done, God measures, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And we are accountable for what we have done with it. He says it here in this word that the foundation is there and we build upon this foundation. And look what he started with. He says that we start building with gold and silver and precious stones. Those are things that we build upon. He painted a natural picture for the people because when we build with gold, silver, and precious stones, they will stand through the fire. You can burn them. And you can melt them down, but it's still gold, silver, and precious stones. It's just in a different form. But he also says that there's wood and hay and stubble. And these things, when fire is applied to them, they are consumed. They're gone. And I didn't come to tear us down tonight, but how many of us in our Christian life have built things that when put to the test, they just went up in smoke? They didn't stand. And we look back at them and we say, I knew better than to build with that. In fact, in the book of Matthew, if I can turn back real quickly, it says it like this. It says that we ought to be careful how we build because we don't have to worry, Wayne. I know your dad was a masonry and we don't have to worry about the foundation. The foundation has already been laid. We don't have to worry about that. And Brother Roscoe used to tell us often about how that he and his some of his workers would go out and they would begin to build and they would just lay the stone upon the foundation. They would begin at the foundation. And I've mentioned him to paint this picture. We don't have to worry about the foundation. We just start at the foundation and start building up. And the Bible says in the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter, you know this verse, these verses quite well. It says that a wise man, he built his house upon a rock. That when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Some folks probably looked at his house and said, that ain't much to look at. But when the rains came, his house stood. It reminds me back in the Bible when Nehemiah, when they said, look at these walls that these folks have built. These walls are walls, they don't look like much. And in fact, they look so timid that if a fox was to walk upon them, they would fall. But sure enough, they may not look like much. But when the enemy came against Jerusalem, the walls stood firm. Folks, that's what he's saying here. And he says, and then everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And it always amazed me when we would go to the ocean, the kids when they were little, they'd always wanted to take the hours to build a sand castle. And I paint this picture because that's what the Bible is painting to us, that when we build our house upon the sand, when the rains come and the floods come in, the whole house is just destroyed. We would stand there sometimes and watch the tide come in and how little bit by little bit it would knock that sand castle down and take it back down and push it right down into the ground. That's the way our lives are. If we don't build upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, it will not stand. I don't care how good it looks. And a lot of people are more concerned about how good their life looks instead of what their life is built upon. You see, I want everybody to know that this is not my life. This is the life that God has given to me. And although I have built some things out of the wrong materials in my life, I'm glad that God has helped me to see where I made mistakes and not make those same mistakes over and over and over again. Some people say, well, if you know, I'm human, I'm going to err. And we're all human. And I believe that God looks beyond our faults. But if we just keep going right back to the hog pen, sooner or later God's going to say, it's time to just turn them loose. If they want to go back to the mud, let them go back to the mud. Because you have to wonder if they was ever saved by the grace of God. Because he that's saved will change. Your ways will change. Your life will change. And the way you build things will change. And he said this, that our works would be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. We don't have to worry about us proving our works. The day will declare our works, whether they be good or whether they be bad. At the end of each day, not at the end of life, but at the end of each day, our works are looked at in this life, whether they be of good or whether they be of evil, and whether they stand or not. And there's all kinds of man's ways that we look at, the way that we build our lives and the things that we do, that we have to be careful as individuals and even as a church, that we are responsible and accountable unto God for what we have done with our life. Sometimes I think about our lives, Brother Jim, and I think about how many days. Has anybody ever looked at a day and looked at all the minutes and the hours that you've wasted? Somebody will help the preacher tonight. We need to do that. We need to look at the time that we waste, the hours that are lost, because we can never go back and recoup that time that we have let go by right through our hands. Sometimes when God lays a testimony upon our hearts and we don't share it, we can't go back and recover that. Sometimes when we say something and God wasn't in it, we can't go back and take it back. Everything we do, we are building upon the foundation which God has put in our lives. And everything we do, if it is of this world or if it's done for the wrong reason, we will not receive the reward that we're looking for. And people say, be careful, Pastor, you're in a Baptist church and you start talking about rewards and people get scary. But the Bible tells us that there are rewards that we have. And folks say, well, you're waiting until you get to heaven to get your rewards. No, God rewards us while we're yet in this life. He gives us His blessings in this life. And yes, there are rewards in heaven. And if God will allow me, I'll speak to that maybe for a few minutes, just a little bit later. But I want us to look at that everything we do, we're either building upon the solid foundation or we're building it for the wrong reason. We're building something that we want everybody to look at. Everything we do, God discerns the very intents of our heart. Amen. People say, well, I did that for the right reason. Only you and God know whether it's the right reason. If you did it to be seen or to be heard, or if you did it thinking that you might gain favor with God, you did it for the wrong reason. But if you did it out of your heart, because the heart is where everything starts at. If you did it out of your heart, God knows why you did it. And God will bless you for it if you did it for the right reason. Too many times we do things for the wrong reason. Some people like to be seen. Some people like to be heard. Some people like to put on the show like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't do anything unless they did it in front of somebody so they could see them do it, that they might look religious. And folks, let me tell you, you don't have to wear the phylacteries around your forehead for people to know whether you're religious or not. Some people say, what does he mean by the phylacteries? In the Bible, it tells us that they would wear the pouches around their forehead. And it would be tied with a string. And inside that, they would have the prayers. And they would have all the different things that they would write down and put inside that. And some would be the law. Some would be the discerning of the word. And they would carry that around to appear to be religious. God knew their intents of their hearts. And God does not reward us for trying to impress our brothers or sisters. He doesn't reward us for trying to impress the world. The world doesn't care how much of the Scripture you know. The world wants to know how much of the love of God do you have in your heart. Because that's what truly tells whether you're built upon the right foundation or not. Too many times we build upon the wrong foundation. Many preachers are built upon the wrong foundation. They're not in it for the service of God. They're in it for their own selves. They're in it to be crowd pleasers. They're in it to try to tell people that you can do whatever you want to, and God will look down and say, well, he or she tried their best. All they're doing is leading other people down to hell and destruction. I'd rather tell you the truth and you think I don't have much than I had to tell you a lie and you think that I've got everything I need. Because at the end of the day, I am accountable to God for what I have and have not done. And while you say amen to that, every one of us is accountable to God. Individually. I am not accountable for what Becky has done or has not done, and Becky is not accountable for what I have or have not done. I know whether I'm building right. And people say, well, this is, you've been saved since 1972 and you've been building ever since then. Folks, I have to confess to you tonight, if I look back over my spiritual life, there's been times I've had to go back and tear down that which I built and start all over again. Because I've started building the wrong way and for the wrong purpose with the wrong intent. And God would show it to me that I would look at other people's lives and I'd say, Ron, I want mine to look like theirs. And folks, I can't build my life based upon your life. And you can't build yours based upon mine. But if we collectively build our houses together the way that God has laid it upon our hearts, folks, the world may not think our lives are much, but God will look down from heaven and He'll smile upon our lives. And He will give us the rewards that we have need of in this life today. So we look at the different things that we build on. He says if we build with this, with these wood and hay and stubble, that when they're he said, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. No matter how good it looks, fire will sort it out whether it's built right or wrong. And people say, well, is he talking about natural fire? I believe he's talking about that spiritual fire. The spiritual fire will let you know whether you're doing right or you're doing wrong. People say, I wish those preachers wouldn't preach so hard. It's not the preacher preaching that condemns you. It's the Word of God that condemns us. It's His Word. And when we go to church and the Word doesn't condemn us, something is wrong. Because every one of us, can I preach it like this? Every one of our houses needs remodeled. People say, oh, he's point blank today. We all need some remodeling done, Brother Rob, because there's things that we have built upon that's not going to stand the test of time. I told the church several years ago after Becky and I moved into our house, and I thought that for sure that my work was done for years to come. But how many of you know that as soon as you get it built, it starts decaying? It's no different than these cars. You buy a brand new car and it's already starting to fall apart. Our Christian lives today, if we don't build right, as soon as we get it built, it's already decaying. But when we build it right, it will stand the test of time. And I the Lord laid this upon my heart, so I want to share it with you. Our lives should be such that when others look at us, they say, he is truly built upon the Word of God. She has truly lived her life according to God's Word. Every one of us ought to try our best to make sure that we're not building with the wrong materials, or that we are trying to build with another man's work, because another man's work won't do the work in our life. I can't be somebody else. I am what I am. I've tried to change it sometimes. And how many of you have seen times in your life that you needed to change and you asked God to help you to change? And some people today look at me, but folks, there's some things that we grow up with that's not of God. There's environments that we grow up around that's not of God. And as I preach this morning, I'm concerned about, and it'll go with tonight's message and tie in real nicely, I'm concerned about people that have the right foundation, but they're building their lives in the wrong manner. Because Becky and I talked about this on the way home today. So many folks think that just because they have the right foundation that they can just live any way they want to and it will be all right. The Bible doesn't say it like that. We all are kept by the same standard. Brother Kenny, if God requires it of me, He requires it of everyone that's been born again by His Word. God is not a respecter of person. God does not have two or three different books of rules and laws and regulations. He has one book, one word, and the same standard that He holds me to, He holds you to. Now, I have to give an account not just for my life. I have to give an account for what I've done with His Word. I will say that. But other than that, we're all kept by the same standard. He judges us all, and we have to live our lives in according to His Word. Anything that we try to do to impress others is of wood, stubble, and hay. Can I summarize it like that? Anything that we build with, that we're building it for the right purpose, God gives us the gold, silver, and precious stones to build in our life. People say, well, I would like to have some of that gold and silver and precious stones. How many of you have known people's lives that you could look at and you could see the gold and silver and precious stones? Because their lives was built right upon the right foundation. God gave them the right materials to build with, and they built a beautiful architectural design in their life. And every one of us is just as unique spiritually as we are physically today. And God looks at our lives. And folks, let me tell you, when I was doing some construction, doing some building, every day when Becky would get home from work, I'd want her to run downstairs and let me show her what I did today. Because I was impressed. Can I be honest with you? I was impressed with my workmanship. But then I'd get so far and I'd see where I made mistakes. And I'd have to go back and fix it. Now, I wasn't as impressed to tell her when she got home from work, come down here, let me show you what I had to go back and fix. Many of us today, we're not impressed. We don't worry too much about telling people what we've had to go back and fix. But how many of you had to go back and fix things in your life because you built it wrong? We're proud of those things that are done right. But those that aren't so, we try to hide them. We try to cover them up. But the Word said if we build with the right materials, that we shall receive a reward. How many of you today know that God rewards His people? He rewards His people. People say, well, you're just talking about natural things. God rewards us naturally, and He rewards us spiritually. If I can use that as a contrast, He rewards us openly, and He rewards us just to where we know about it. Sometimes it's by just being a blessing. Sometimes it's when the Word shows up in our hearts, when there's nobody else around but us, and the Spirit of God comes upon us. You talking about a reward? I can't think of anything in this life that's more precious than for God to show up at your house and come in and just flood you with the Holy Spirit. You talking about reward? Some people go to church, they wonder why they can't feel what everybody else is feeling. It's because they built their lives in the wrong way. If you build out of wood, stubble, and hay, folks, you don't have anything that will stand when the fire comes down. Your life won't measure up. But when you build with the precious stones and gold and silver that God has given to us, and I need to expound upon that for a minute before I come to a close. People say, well, how do I get those? Sister Carlene sings a song every once in a while here at the church that talks about that my home may not look like much and my clothes may be lacking in style, but you ought to see what I've got on the other side because I've got treasures unseen over in glory land. People say, well, if they're over there, how are you building your life? I'm building my life upon Jesus Christ, His Word, and the church. And when I tried to do my best according to His Word, God rewards us openly and also just so that we know that God has been with us. And people can look at our lives. Folks, we can tell whether you're building right or you're building wrong. Let me give you some examples and then I'll move on. People that have been saved and are building their lives wrong out of wood, stubble, and hay are people that are in today and out tomorrow. People that still think that you can go to church and still run with the devil's crowd. God said in His Word that we ought to be a separate people. You can't build a house out of silver stone, precious stone, and gold when you're running around with wood, hay, wood. I'll get it right. Wood, straw, and gotta go stubble. Thank you, Jim. You can't do it. They don't mix. all that wood, stubble, and hay does is impurities in the gold, silver, and precious stones. You know why they put fire to gold and silver and precious stones? It's to burn out the impurities that's in it. Folks, that's what God does to us, Brother Wayne. He said that we've been tried by fire. And people sometimes refer to that as when we first got saved. But I'm glad that the fire still comes down and tries us occasionally in our life. That we don't have to just get it once, but God will come down and He'll see whether we're building it right or we're building it wrong. And He said that He will reward us. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. If he's not built the right way. And that's why, and I need to say this, and then I'll come to a close in just a minute. That's why it's important for us to get our young people into the house of the Lord so they can get the right foundation in their life. That's why it's important for us to get our young people, middle-aged people, and old people into the house of the Lord so they can get the right foundation in their house. Because they're going to build a life. You're building your life whether you acknowledge it or not. Whether you're cognizant of the fact that you are building your life each and every day. The other day Tiffany was talking. She's building her life. And I like watching other people build their house. Because I can give them advice that I wish I had when I was trying to build mine. And Dad and Mom probably tried to give me that same advice. But I wouldn't listen to them. Anybody else want to say that's me? And I told her the other day, I said, Tiffany, you got to stop running and start walking a little bit. Because you're trying to run when you ought to be walking. Our young people today need advice from godly people. Because the world is giving them enough advice. They're telling them that it's good to go out and have their parties. It's good to go out and have a drink or have a pill. And to try drugs every once in a while, it'll not harm you at all. But they don't tell you what happens at the end. Is that you get an addiction. And then all your life burns up. Because you're consumed. The devil won't tell them about that. But the Bible says that if we're founded upon the right foundation. And I'm not telling you this tonight so that you'll build wrong. But I'm just preaching to you the Word of God. If we build upon the right foundation. We can build our lives wrong. And still not suffer loss. Of everything. And people say, well, that just sounds like it's a confirmation. I can just do whatever I want to. I believe if you're right with God, you'll want to build your life right. You want to live right. You want to do right. But he said like this, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. See, if you've got the right foundation. And some of us today, we look at people's lives and you say, surely they are not saved. We can't really judge that. Bible says that we can be fruit inspectors. We can look at somebody's lives and say, I worry about them. But Brother Ron, I can't look at anybody's life and say whether they're saved or not. Because there are some people that are building lives that look like they are Christians. But they're not. And there are some people that are Christians, they've been saved by the grace of God, but their lives are a disaster. Because they're building the wrong way. And people say, well, Roger, I don't understand this message tonight. What the writer is telling us is that we're all going to make mistakes. And we're not going to receive the rewards in this life that God wants us to have if we do not build our lives correctly. Because He said everything we build is going to burn up with fire. But our souls will not be lost because we have the right foundation in our life because we trusted in Jesus Christ. We are saved. Do you not believe that once saved, always saved? That what God saves, He is able to keep against that day? The Bible tells us this. And it sounds like some of the modern preaching in our churches across the land. That you can get saved and just live any way you want to. I don't believe that tonight. I believe that once you get saved, you'll want to do right. You'll want to build right. But Paul is telling us, folks, we ought to every once in a while, the reason why some people live this way is because they're never told that you ought to look what you're building with. Their lives are never told. All the many people that so-called churches are concerned about is getting their attendance up and building their church membership. They're not worried about, once they submit their lives to God, is getting them built up in Christ Jesus so they'll know how to build their lives. And we need to do that. We are accountable as a church to tell people how they ought to build their lives. I'm impressed, as I said, with Tiffany, and I'm impressed with these young ladies and young men in our church. I couldn't be any more proud of Rachel and Sarah if they were my own children. And I'm proud of them because God has blessed them with the intellect. And I don't say this because Matt's here. He's blessed them with intellect, and they're doing good in their school work. And it looks, as from my standpoint of view, it looks like their careers are very bright. And I am impressed with that. Amen? But I am more impressed that they've got the right foundation. That no matter what height God takes them to, they're building upon the foundation that God has placed in their lives. They're not ashamed to get up and sing about Jesus Christ. They're not ashamed to testify about His goodness in their life. And folks, let me tell you, that's the best foundation that there is, because all these other foundations will not stand the test of time. All these other things that you build upon your life will not stand. But that which we do for God, and that which we do we know is right, God will bless us openly for it, and He will reward us today. People say, do you really believe in rewards? The Bible mentions them. If God didn't have rewards for us, He wouldn't have put it in His Word. Growing up in Baptist churches all my life, many Baptist churches are afraid to mention that word in the house of God. They're afraid of it, Sister Della, because they think that God is going to reward somebody more than He is somebody else. People, let me tell you, in this life, God rewards us for what we do, which is right. Now, you can measure your rewards however you want to, but I measure mine how that God has blessed us so. And people, when we get to heaven, we'll have rewards when we get there also. And this is what scares a lot of Baptist people. And they say, well, what kind of rewards are we going to get there? If I could expound upon it, I would. But I'm going to be open with you tonight and just tell you this. The Bible says that we'll have rewards, but everything that we have there, we will take it and we will lay it at the feet of Jesus, because He's the one that's worthy to be praised. He's the one that deserves all glory and honor. You and I, we don't deserve anything. All we are is children that's been saved by God's grace. And we are not there because of ourselves. We're there because God made a way at Calvary that we could become children of the living God. And we ought to be careful how we build our lives. How many of us today, in closing, if we could just go back 20 years and know what we knew today, how many of us would build a little differently? Oh my goodness. That'll get folks excited. I've seen some of you smile, ain't smiled all day. You think about going back 20 years and knowing what you know now. And if I get on your young people's nerves, I apologize. It's just that I know the mistakes I've made. I've seen the mistakes that others have made. And I don't want you to build your lives wrong. I want you to build your lives right. When I think of Emily, when I think of and both Emily's, and I think about their lives, and I think about Anthony and Evan and all them, you know what I think about? When I look at Rachel and also Rob and Sharon, when I look at them, you know what I look at? I look at people that had the right foundation established in their lives. And many of you will remember Brother Harvey sitting here and requesting prayer. Oftentimes he would talk to me after church about his family and about those that was lost. And I told him, just like Brother Holcomb says and others, that we'll just keep on praying. If we keep on praying, we'll see God work in their lives. Because you see, they've been presented with what their foundation ought to be built, what their houses ought to be built upon. And in due time, God saved that whole family. And I can say this about many of your families today. I am just so impressed with how God has built that family, what He has done for them, and it all goes back. Folks, if you've had good mothers and fathers that taught you about the Lord, you had the ones showing you the foundation that you ought to build upon. Paul's saying, don't build upon my foundation. Don't build upon some other man's foundation, but build upon Jesus Christ's foundation, because that's the one that will stand. And I'll close with this. Several years ago at New Haven, I preached this, a message like this. It wasn't from this scripture reading. But I said that, you know, our lives are a lot like... They had a toy back years and years ago. It was called the Weeble. I don't know if anybody remembers that. But they had a saying that went along with that toy, is the Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And I said, that's the way I am today. I'm on a solid foundation. And the devil may come against me and he may knock me from one side to the other. He may knock me forward and backward, but there's one thing he can't do. He can't knock me down. Because I'm built upon Jesus Christ. Tonight, every one of us that are saved, we are built upon the same foundation. And Rob, get us a song of invitation tonight, if you would. You know, instead of looking at somebody's house, you ought to look at the foundation that they're built upon. Because if they're not built right, that beautiful house won't stand. In fact, it's prone to destruct. When a storm sufficient enough comes through, and we had a storm last week to come through, and it destroyed a lot as it went through our land here. And, you know, many folks talking about trees they lost and roofs that was lost and all this damage that was done. It's all done because what the wind came in contact with wasn't strong enough to stand. In our lives, that's the same way. If we're not built right, when the storms come, we will not have what it takes to stand. And I'll close with this, and I promise you I will. There's been things in my life that when the storms came, I've had to go back, Wayne, and rebuild that which was built out of wood, stubble, and hay. I had to go back and rebuild. But you know what? I had a foundation that was true. And all the works that was done and built out of gold and silver and precious stone, they were still intact. In fact, in 1 Peter, he says it like this. That we ought to build our houses, our homes, our future upon this. That we already have the foundation and we already have the chief cornerstone that we can build our lives upon. Tonight, every one of us has made mistakes. Every one of us. I am not one of these preachers that tells you that I'm perfect. Because you know I'm not. If I was to tell you, you wouldn't listen to anything else I ever would say from that day on because you know I lied. But there are some that will try to make you think that their lives are perfect. There's not a one of us that's perfect. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I realize as every day as I get further down the road, there's a lot of things I've built in hay, wood, and stubble that I should have built in gold, silver, and precious stone. And people say, well, you can do it over. You know what doing it over means? I have to go back. And that which was destroyed, I have to start there and start building again. And how many of you know that when you have to rebuild, it's worse than it is if you just build it from scratch? That's why we ought to do it right the first time. That's why I counsel people, when you get saved, find you a good Bible teaching, God-fearing church, and that's where you ought to stay. Stay there and stay rooted and founded upon the Word of God because it will help you to build your life in the right way. Even if you go to church every Sunday, you're still going to make mistakes. But recognize the mistakes and stop doing the same mistakes over so that you can make some progress in your Christian life. You know why some folks are stuck at the same place year after year? It's because they're too busy having to rebuild out of wood, stubble, and hay. They're just going back. They're just patching up all the time. Folks, God doesn't want us to patch up. He wants us to build and move on. God bless you. I hope you got something from the Word tonight. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. Make sure you're building the right way. Make sure your life is built right. Because it's the only thing that will stand when the storms come. And Brother Bill, people will say, well, how do I know storms are going to come? Storms are coming. You can count on it. And I don't want to see your works burned up. Oh, why not tonight? Get your house fixed. Get your life fixed. And only in Christ can you do it. Then why not tonight? Yes, that's all right, Rob. I appreciate it. I appreciate God's Word, don't you? If we really look at our lives, we can see where God has helped us to fix our mistakes. And I believe everybody in the house said, you acknowledge that we've all made mistakes in the building of our lives. We've all, in our Christian lives. I'm not just talking about our natural lives. In our Christian lives, we've all made mistakes. We've built out of the wrong stuff because we was trying to impress others. We was more worried about what everybody else thought about our lives than we was about what God knew about our lives. And a lot of people have the persona of a Christian. They have a house that looks like it's built right. But you know what? Sometimes people go in the natural realm and they look at these big houses and they think, man, that house looks wonderful. Only to come to find out that it's built wrong. It's got the wrong foundation. And we look at the news clips that come on. Every time the storms come to the West Coast, all those multi-million dollar houses built lavishly, they're on the hillsides. When the storms come, they just start falling over. You know why they fall over? Because their foundation was built wrong. It wasn't dug deep enough. Or it was dug in such a place that it wouldn't hold it. Now, why would you want to build your life in a place that will not hold it? And you know what our people are doing today? They're building their lives in a place that will not stand the test of time. You can't get through it. Folks, I hope you got something from the Word of God tonight that you can take with you. I hope every day you look at your life and you say, am I building it right? Am I doing the right things? Am I doing the right things for the right reason? Because if you're not doing it for the right reason, it's not building a reward for you. And people say, Pastor, do you really believe that we ought to do works? The Bible says that we're not saved by our works, but we're saved unto good works. If you are saved, you ought to be doing good. You ought to be doing good. If you're not doing good, you know what? God hasn't laid you off. There's no unemployment in God's house. And I've never said it like this, Kenny. God has a job for every one of us. And He expects us to do it. Let's do our part for the Lord and for His kingdom. God bless you. Have a great week. Remember our service here on Wednesday night. Remember the service next weekend. Invite somebody to come be with you. Make sure you bring a covered dish on Sunday morning. Something, I believe what we was told to do is bring something to go with pizza. Well, I'm a meat and potato guy, so anything that you fix will go with pizza for me. Some of you, green beans goes with pizza. Amen? Potatoes goes with pizza. Chicken goes with pizza. Chocolate goes with pizza. There's nothing that you can bring that won't go with pizza. All right. So you make sure that you come and be with us next Sunday. Anybody got anything on your heart?
Roger, I want to say just a word before you.
Bless you, Kenny.
Bible-believing churches where I had a lot of opportunity and preachers took me under their wing and they began to help me. And one day I was out in my farmyard. I sold that farm. I didn't really mean to do it. It wasn't advertised to sell, but a young man came along and he wanted to look inside the house. And I hollered at Della. He wanted to see the trim. And I said, "This guy wants to look at the house, Della." She let him look at the house, and he came back outside and he said, "Is this place for sale?" I said, "Well, I've not had it too long, and I had a cow. She had had twin calves, and I was fooling with those calves. One of them was sick, and I was fooling with those calves." And he had a pair of blue jeans on, with holes in them. He had earrings and long hair. And I didn't actually condescend on him, but I thought he was fit the hippie mold. I said, "Yeah, if I could find some sucker to come by and give me an X amount," I made an amount. And I had bought this farm, God had blessed me, and my spiritual life was really doing good at that time. And Heber Felton, I'll never forget, he was a man at Eaton Home Aid that had the finance company. He says, "Ken, did you price your farm today?" I said, "Yeah, some hippie was out here looking at it. I priced it." He said, "Well, he's sitting here at the desk, and he's ready to write a check to pay your balance off. And then I'll hold your check. He wants to close this out. You can stay there for 30 days, I think he said." But I told him, I said, "I need 60 days, because I had about 38. He had a cattle, had some hogs, and a bunch of riding horses. And I said, "Well, I need a little time." And he said, "Well, I'll give him the time that he needs." And he said, "But I want to close it out." And I told Heber, I said, "Well, I priced it. I guess I'll sell." And so I told Dell, I said, "Well, honey, I guess we've sold this farm." And I was wanting to move to Hillsboro anyway. And I was looking at another farm anyway. But to make the long story short, you was talking about being responsible, and this comes to my mind, and I feel I need to tell this. Maybe some young people here will get something out of this that will help them. And so I had to rush around, and I had to get a sale ready because I had too many little farm implements and things there, and the cattle and the horses, and I wanted to have an auction. And no Baptist preacher that had taken me under his wing, and we become good friends, he called me on the telephone one evening. He says, "Ken, God had laid you on my heart to come and preach a revival." And I never went and prayed. I never even considered. I just popped off on the telephone. You talk about making mistakes, Brother Roger. Yeah. I said, "I don't have time for a revival." And that's what I told him. I said, "Brother, I don't have time for a revival. I'm trying to sell, and I'm having a sale. I don't have time for a revival." And he never said a word, and he hang that phone up. And I went ahead and sold. And many a time since that time, I have thought about this, but It grew so heavy on my heart, yeah. I went and got on my knees out in the barn, and I began to pray and ask God, "Forgive me for making that hasty decision."
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people is confused about salvation today, and they're confused about forgiveness.
Yeah.
Now, God did forgive me,
yeah.
Because I went to Him with the right heart,
yeah.
And I was in the right place, mm-hmm. with God. God did forgive me for that mistake. But God allowed me now for about 50 years, 45 years, I've lived with that.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
yes,
in the middle of the night,
yeah.
I sit up there in that old chair, and I think about what I said to that man.
Yeah.
I said, "I don't have time to preach a revival for you."
Yeah.
And I think of that sometimes, and my heart breaks, Brother Roger, and I break down and I weep and I still cry. I know. know I'm forgiven for that. But we do need to be careful. It's one thing to be forgiven, but it's another thing to have to live with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And the Apostle Paul did some things that he was ashamed of. But he had to live with it. And he had thorns that he asked God to remove. And finally, after about three times, God told him, no, Paul, you will just have to live with it. My grace is sufficient. So I want to say this to you tonight, just in the sermon that the brother preached. The Bible says that we will reap what we sow. And the Bible says that you cannot have two masters. Now, if you're a servant, you've got a master, or you wouldn't be a servant. And the Bible says you can't have two masters. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't actually hate Christianity, or I don't hate some of the things that the world is doing. When you say that, you're really refuting what the Lord said. The Lord said that you will serve one, and he said, or you will love one, and you will hate the other. Now, it's not wrong, especially when you get as old as I am, it's not wrong to hate the world. I know that, because Jesus said to love one and hate the other. And I'll tell you tonight that I hate everything that I see that the devil has proposed to do. I hate it. And I hate the very thought of the way he is leading people and controlling people's lives, and I hate that. I'll tell you right now, I hate that. But I just wanted to say that. It might help somebody. I feel like I need to say it, because I still find myself weeping sometimes for that remark. I don't have time. And that's pretty bad. Not only that you turn down a brother in the Lord's request when he told you that God put you on his heart, but you flat refuse to do what God tell you you will do. There is suffering in that.
Amen.
And a lot of people have laughed at me for a lot of things that I have said over my life. And they talk about, you won't know this in hell, or you won't know this in heaven. But this has crossed my mind many a time, and I want you to think about it. Hell is just exactly what the Bible says that it is. It's a lake of fire. It's a terrible place. The souls that fails to believe the Lord Jesus Christ are going to die there eternally in that place. The only thing that make hell worse for me, if I was there in that terrible place, I don't have to worry about that. But if I were a lost man, the only thing that could make hell worse for me is to hear one of my children in hell crying for me to assist or help them, and my hands be tied, bound hand and foot tied, and cast into a lake of fire, and hear one of my loved ones call to me. Now, I know that might sound a little erratic to people, but it's the same thing that Brother Roger was talking about. I believe that one day, when I leave this world, I'm going to a place where my mother went to, and my father went to, and my grandfather went to, and I think I have a son over there waiting for me, and I've got a multitude of friends that are over there waiting for me, and I believe that I will see them one day. And while we're here, if God help us while we're here, we ought to really get down serious about these things, because we have loved ones that's lost. And if the Lord would come tonight at the dead hour of midnight, many of our friends and our loved ones would have to be turned away into an everlasting lake of fire. And so this is a real thing. It is a real thing. So let's do walk gentle. Let's love. Let's. I believe with all my heart, I didn't mean to say this much, but I want to say this. People get scared to death when you talk about sanctification. But children, everything that you see in this world that is detrimental to your Christian life, you ought to take it and move it away from you. Sanctify yourself from that you can have a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as sure as this old preacher is standing here in your presence tonight, time is running out. trouble, and Jesus said these are the day of trouble.
Yes.
And folks, I'm telling you, we need to wake up. And I'll admit it, sometimes when Roger's preaching, you might not look over to me or you might look at me, but if you see my countenance fall, I'll tell you why my countenance falls. It's because sin lies at the door. And there ain't no need for Christians to come to church and their countenance has to fall all the time. That's the truth. But we allow that to happen because of our lifestyle.
Yes.
And the things that we're conformed to that we have no business with at all.
And so
I just want to say that. So if you see my countenance fall, it's because the preacher has stepped on my toes. And I thought about that the first thing when he preached, and I was, I don't have time, preacher, to hold a revival for you. I'll tell you, we better start finding some time for God.
Amen.
Or we're going to come up somewhere. I want to see my children in heaven. That's one of the rewards that I'm expecting.
Yeah.
To see my children in heaven. And I'll tell you what, if we're not all careful, they won't be there. So I just want you to pray for me. I'm not wanting you to pray that, Lord, let me just live on and on and on. I'm not even praying that you pray that the Lord would just give me strength like I had when I was young. I've done what I've done to myself. God knows about that. I just pray that you pray for me that God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
And that God will see me. So I know that He will. And so I desire your prayers.
Amen.
What I want to say, Brother Roger.
Amen.
Don't